This is the last week that we're doing in this series, getting through whatever you're going through. And I want us to look at how to never waste your pain. Now, we know that God has five purposes for your life. We've talked about this for years and years and years. These five purposes are repeated over and over in Scripture. They are reinforced, they are re-emphasized, they are repeated over and over. God has five purposes for your life. Number one, we know that God wants you to know and love Him. You were planned for His pleasure, and that's called worship. When you know and love God, we know that God wants you to learn to love other people. That's the second purpose of life. You were put on this planet to learn to love, God, to learn to love others. One is called worship, one's called fellowship. Then the Bible says that we are put on this planet to grow up spiritually, to be like Christ. God's goal is that you become like Jesus, not God, but become godly in character. You were created to become like Christ. And then the fourth purpose, we know that you were put on this planet to practice serving. This is preparation for eternity. You're going to serve God in heaven. God wants you to practice now. And the way you practice now is by you serve God by serving other people. You can't serve God directly here because you can't even see Him. The only way you can serve God on earth is by serving other people. And the Bible calls that your ministry. And that's the fourth purpose of life: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry. The fifth purpose of your life is you were made for a mission. And God has a life message that He wants to communicate through you. And nobody else can share your life message. And God wants to use you to say something to this world. Now, we all know those five purposes that God has for our lives. But what most people don't know is that God uses pain to fulfill those purposes in your life. He uses pain, but you have to cooperate with God for that to happen in your life. And sadly, most people don't do this. Most people waste their suffering. Most people waste their pain. Most people don't profit from their problems. They don't harvest their hurts. They don't advance from their adversity. Most people, they don't learn from their losses. They don't improve from their injuries. Most people never gain from their pain. So tonight, what I want us to do is to look at how to gain from your pain. How God wants to use whatever pain you're going through, emotional, physical, financial, relational, spiritual, in any area of life, how God wants to use the pain in your life to move you toward His purposes for your life. And He doesn't want you to waste it. This is what Paul's talking about in the book of Galatians. In chapter 3, verse 4, he says this: "Have you gone through all of this for nothing? Is it really all for nothing?" You know, as I look at that verse, I just want to ask you to answer this in your mind. I'm not asking you to publicly answer it. Have you grown from your pain, or have you wasted your pain? Are you further down the road to where God wants you to be, or have you just had pain in your life and it never made any difference? Well, maybe you say, "I don't know how to learn. I don't know how to grow. I don't know how to develop from my pain." Well, it's not too late to learn. So let's look at what God wants to do in your life as we wrap up this series. Pain can be used for all five of God's purposes in your life. You might write these down. Number one, the first thing I know is this: I can use my pain to draw closer to God. I can use my pain to draw closer to God. Now, when anything bad happens in your life, you have a choice. You got a choice. You can either run to God or you can run away from God. Now, we by nature instinctively turn to God in pain. Whenever there is a massive tragedy, a bomb explodes, there's a fire, a flood, a terrorist attack, people go, "Oh God," the first person they cry out to is the God. Because by instinct, we know that we should turn to God. But some people turn away from God in this. How do you draw close to God in your pain? Well, you tell Him how you feel. You cry out to God. You argue with God. You trust God. In shock, you express your shock to God. In sorrow, you cry out in your sorrow to God. In struggle, you argue with God. And in surrender, you let go and you trust God. You take all of these steps. You can worship at every stage of the development. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at that verse. Paul says this, "We were crushed and overwhelmed, and we saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God who could alone save us. And he did help us." Circle the phrase, "but that was good." Paul says, wait a minute, we were crushed, we were overwhelmed, we were in over our heads, we were ready to give up, we were discouraged, we were defeated, we were dying. But he says, that was good. Why? Because it drew us closer to God rather than away from God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, Paul says this, "I'm glad about the pain that these people went through, not because it hurt you, but because the pain turned you to God." That's the first purpose. I can let pain draw me closer to God. Second purpose, I can use my pain to draw closer to others. Not just to God, but to other people. And this is the purpose of fellowship. And if you allow it, pain will deepen your love for other people. It will mature your love. Suffering sensitizes you. Suffering deepens you. Suffering turns you, it transforms you. I've seen the most stubborn, self-centered, selfish, hard-bitten men turn into real lovers after a major tragedy in their life. God says, I can use pain to draw you not only closer to me, but to draw you closer to other people. That there is no wrong feeling. Feelings are not right or wrong. Feelings are just feelings. How many arguments have you had in your marriage because you tried to convince your spouse their feeling was unreasonable? Don't do the elbows right now. So many of our arguments in marriage end up because we're trying to talk each other out of feelings. Don't do it. Feelings are just feelings. They're neither right nor wrong, they're just feelings. Do you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about that there are four levels of fellowship, and they go deeper and deeper. And we talked about how in your small group, the shallowest level of fellowship is the fellowship of sharing. That's where, how's your day? How are you doing? What's going on in your life? How's everything going? That's the fellowship of sharing. And that's okay, it's just not very deep. To go a little bit deeper in fellowship, you go to the fellowship of studying, where you study the Word of God together. To go a little bit deeper than that, you go to the fellowship of serving. And if you've ever had your small group go on a peace trip together, you know how much that binds you together. It's when you're serving together, you go deeper than studying or sharing. But the deepest level of all is the fellowship of suffering. The fellowship of suffering. And the only way you get to the fellowship of suffering is by being willing to be vulnerable. Take the risk of being vulnerable and share what you're feeling. Galatians 6:2, there on your outline, says this, "By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ." What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbors yourself. And he says, when you help each other in your pain, when you help each other in your suffering, when you help each other in your troubles, when you enter into the fellowship of suffering, he says, then you're obeying the greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And I just want to say to you that pain, if you will allow it, will teach you how to really love. You see, pain isn't, I mean, love is far more than chocolates and roses and Valentines. Pain changes bedpans. You might tweet that. Pain changes bedpans. That's real love. That's real. Pain works. Real love changes bedpans. Real love changes, real love works. The third purpose of pain, I can use it to draw closer to God, I can use it to draw closer to others. God says, I can use pain to become more like Jesus. I can use pain to become more like Jesus. In other words, pain is always an opportunity to grow in character, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. These nine qualities, how do you learn them? You learn them in tough times. You learn love in unlovely situations. You learn joy in grief situations. You learn peace in chaos. You learn patience, having to wait. You learn these things in the exact opposite situations. I can choose to let pain make me more like Jesus. But again, it's a choice. Some people, pain makes them bitter. And some people let pain make them better. Some people let pain be a stepping stone to progress. And others let pain be a stumbling block to failure. It's a choice. Proverbs 20, verse 30 says this: sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Anybody want to give a testimony on that verse? Yeah. Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Now, the fact is, and I said this a couple weeks ago, God's number one purpose in your life is to make you like Jesus. Now, if God's going to make you like Jesus, loving like Jesus, thinking like Jesus, being kind like Jesus, being truthful like Jesus, having the character, the integrity, the generosity, the humility of Jesus. If God's going to make you like Jesus, he's going to take you through the things that Jesus went through. Were there times when Jesus was lonely? Yes. Were there times that you will be lonely? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was misunderstood? Yes. Will there be times when you were misunderstood? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was criticized, maligned, and judged? Yes, same for you. Were there times when Jesus was so tired and fatigued he felt like he couldn't go on another day? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was tempted? Yes. What makes you think God's going to spare you? He didn't spare his own son, so why would he spare you? He did not spare Jesus from pain. And if God is going to make me like Christ, then he's going to take me through the same kind of things that Jesus went through. Hebrews 5:8. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience from suffering. Jesus learned to do the right thing in spite of the fact that it wasn't the easy thing to do. How are you going to learn to do the right thing in spite of the fact that it's not the easy thing to do? Same way, through suffering. Here's another verse. Look at this verse. Hebrews 5:9. Suffering made Jesus perfect. And now he can save forever all who obey him. You say, well, suffering made Jesus perfect. I thought he was perfect. Well, the word perfect here literally means complete. And it's saying it completed Jesus by going through suffering. There are some things, the only way you learn them is through pain. You agree with that? Some things you only learn through pain. Now, Paul compliments the way the Corinthians, the believers in the city of Corinth in Greece, had handled the pain in their lives. And look at this verse there on your outline. Now, isn't it wonderful, Paul says, all the ways in which this distress, they'd been going through a tough time, all the ways in which this distress has goaded you closer to God. You're more alive, you're more concerned, you're more sensitive, you're more reverent, you're more human, you're more passionate, you're more responsible. Looked at from any angle, you've come out of this with purity of heart. Now notice, Paul's talking to a group of people who'd just gone through the ringer. Their life had just been hell on earth. They had gone through amazing persecution, amazing suffering, amazing pain. And he says, there are seven things that have come out of this. You're more alive, you're more concerned, you're more sensitive, more relevant, more human, more passionate, more responsible. He lists these seven qualities. Wouldn't you like to have those in your life? Wouldn't you like to be more alive? Wouldn't you like to be more compassionate, more passionate, more sensitive, more responsible? Then you need to ask God to use the pain in your life for good and choose to cooperate with him. See, the fact is pain transforms us. It never leaves us where we started. It will either be better or bitter, as I said. It won't leave you where it picked you up. It will take you to another place. Now, I want you to listen very closely what I'm about to say. I want you to win in life. I want you to succeed in life. I want your life to have meaning and significance. I want your life to be all that God wants it to be. The secret of every winner, whether it's winning in business, winning in sports, winning at love, winning in relationships, winning financially, spiritually, or any other way, the secret of every single winner is one word. It is the word resilience. Resilience. It is the ability to bounce back. Why? Because everybody goes through tough times. Everybody has failures. Everybody has flops. Nobody goes through life with unbroken success. Nobody goes through life with no problems. Nobody goes through life with it just a breeze and everything's handed to them. There are problems, pains, pressures, difficulties in everybody's life. And the difference between winners and losers is that winners get back up. It's the only difference. The only difference between a winner and a loser is resiliency. Losers stay down. I'll never let another man hurt me. Dumb idea. Because you shut yourself off to hurt, you've just shut yourself off to a love, and you will live a loveless life the rest of your life. I will never let another employer hurt me. I will never let another whatever hurt me. You build a wall, and you fill the moat, and you pull up the drawbridge, and you build a prison, a self-imposed prison that your heart stays in, and you become a little clod of a person. How do I get resilience? 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10 says this. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. And we get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out, he's saying. Through suffering, these bodies of ours are constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Now that's what I call a resilient person. And he says, no matter what happens, I'm the Energizer Bunny. I keep on ticking. What was the secret of Paul's resistance? His resilience. His determination, his ability to bounce back no matter how bad things happen in his life. The answer is right here. It's perspective. It's the way he looked at things. He looked at life not from a worldly view, but from a godly view. Not from a contemporary view, but from an eternal perspective. He looked at his life in light of eternity, realizing that this life is just preparation for the next, and no matter how hard the problem is, it's just temporary, but the rewards in eternity are going to go on forever. You see, you can handle unbelievable pain if you see a purpose in it. Now, if you don't see a purpose in it, you're not going to be resilient. But if you see a purpose in it, and you see God's hand, God is using this to draw me closer to him. God is using this to teach me to love other people. God is using this to make me more like Christ. Then you get resilience. And God says, I can choose to let pain draw me closer to other people. I can let it deepen my love, get my eyes off myself and onto others. And I have. And I hope you will too. God says, if I want to, I can choose to become more like Jesus Christ and grow in character. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Number four, I can use my pain to help others. And this is the purpose of service. This is called redemptive suffering. It's suffering for the benefit of others. It is the highest and best use of your pain. Now follow me on this. If you're gonna be in pain, because we live in a broken world and everybody has pain, we all have pain, nobody lives a pain-free life. If you're gonna have pain and you know you're gonna have it, why not at least get some credit for it? And you don't get credit for your pain by mumbling, moaning, complaining. You don't get pain for pulling yourself into a self-centered person and ignoring the needs of other people. You don't get credit for your pain by feeling sorry for yourself and having a pity party. You get credit for your pain by using it to help other people who are in the same kind of pain. God says that is the highest and best use, and you will be richly rewarded for it. And rather than focusing on my hurt, my feeling, how I feel bad, I refocus it and I refocus on the pain of others. We began this series with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to end it with it too. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. Bam, there it is. God comforts us in our troubles so we can comfort others. Then when others are troubled, we're able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. And you can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So, when we're weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit. It's for your salvation. For when God comforts us, it's so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. Now, this is Common Sense 101. Who can better help a struggling veteran than somebody who's been a veteran? Who can better help parents of a special needs child than somebody who's been a parent of a special needs child? Who can better help somebody struggling with a chronic illness than somebody who is struggling with a chronic illness? They understand. Who could better help someone who's been molested or raped than someone who's been molested or raped? Don't waste your hurt. Don't hide your hurt. Let God heal it, and let God recycle it, and let God use it, and let God utilize it, and let God bless other people. Don't waste any pain in your life. I can use it to help others. And finally, number 5, I can use my pain to witness to the world. I can use my pain to witness to the world. Now, when you start talking about witnessing or evangelism, everybody all gets uptight. The one thing about believers and non-believers that they have in common is they both are nervous about evangelism. Evangelism comes from the Greek word evangel, which means good news. All it is sharing good news. And the highest form of witnessing is witnessing in your pain. I can use my pain to witness to the world. You see, God knows the exact opposite is true of what we think is true. We think that the world is impressed by our prosperity and how we handle prosperity. So we want to show off our prosperity. That doesn't impress the world. The world is impressed with how we handle adversity. Not prosperity, adversity. We think that our successes give us credibility, when God says, no, your suffering gives you credibility. We think that fame earns respect, when God says, no, what actually earns respect is faithfulness in tough times. Your deepest life message will come out of your deepest pain. And this is real witnessing. It's Christ-like witnessing. It's what Jesus did for you. What is the greatest witness of God's love? The greatest witness of God's love is not what Jesus said. It's not what Jesus did. The greatest witness of God's love is not the Sermon on the Mount. It's not the sermons he preached. The greatest witness of God's love is not the miracles that Jesus did. The greatest witness of God's love is the suffering of Jesus. This is how much I love you. I love you so much, it hurts. So the bottom line is this. You're gonna have pain in your life. I wish I could stop it. I can't. You're going to have pain in your life. Now, you can either use it for good or you can waste it. Please don't waste it. What we're talking about here is purpose-driven pain. Pain that causes me to worship, to fellowship, to disciple, to minister, to evangelize. Pain that causes me to know Christ, to love Christ, to grow in Christ, to share Christ, to serve Christ. Pain that has a purpose. You're going to have pain. You may as well use it for good.